Good morning. Or afternoon. Afternoon. Wow, I've been waiting for these afternoons forever and then I forget. Good afternoon. Now, I was back in the ninth grade. Word had come to me that one of my classmates was looking for me and he was looking to do me harm. The word was he was going to beat me up at some point. And each day, one of his friends would come up and remind me that my time was coming. You know, my time was drawn to a near. I was running out of time, and soon that day would be here. Now, this went on for what I can remember to be probably 2-3 weeks. And each day, I would have to worry, is today going to be that day? Each time I went into a classroom or walked around a corner, found myself alone in a hallway or walking into the locker room, I had to worry, is he going to be there? And as I mentioned, each day one of his friends would come up and remind me that it's coming, that your day is coming. Well, one day I was walking down the hallway and there he was. We had finally come face to face. The day had finally come. And immediately I had found myself completely surrounded by his friends. It was no sooner did we get face to face, I was surrounded, and he squared off. He was ready to go. And now, if you want to know what happened next, you can come up and ask me after services, and I'll finish the story. Okay, so what was that point? What was the point of all that? Well, the point is that we need to be reminded sometimes, just as I was being reminded daily, we need to be reminded that we have an adversary out there. We have a being out there who is looking to destroy us, one who is looking to do us harm. He's looking to destroy us eternally. There won't be any coming back from that. And just as this guy's friends were reminding me of what was coming, that's what I wanted to do today, is just remind you that we also have someone out there who is looking to hurt us. We need to be reminded so that we can be on the lookout and keep our guard up. Because the spirit that's after us, he won't come at us head on, face to face, like this guy did with me. His attack will be more stealth. He will be more subtle in what he is doing. And if we're not watching for those things, we might not see him coming. Ephesians 6:11 refers to his attacks as the wiles of the devil. And just as I found myself surrounded by his friends, he too will surround us. He will surround us by broadcasting evil thoughts, evil attitudes, which, you know, we just need to be aware of and on the lookout constantly for that, so that we won't get caught up in what he's trying to get us caught up in, which is anger and jealousy, gossip, slandering one another. He wants us to have a false sense of love, a false sense of what pleasure is. And those are the kind of things that he broadcasts out for our minds to pick up. And again, like I said, we're not going to see him coming. He's not going to come at us head on. His way is simple. He only has to entice us into sin, and then we destroy ourselves. Or the bigger picture, you know, God will destroy us in a lake of fire if we fall into these traps. And that's what Satan wants for us. And that's what he wants for every other person that's been alive or that will be alive, is to be in the lake of fire. He doesn't want anybody to make it. So we must be mindful of our thoughts and our actions. Now, we are told in God's Word that we need to bring every thought into captivity. We need to be in control of every action that we take and every word that we say. It's of the utmost importance that we know which of the Spirit, which spirit our thoughts are being motivated by. Now, every one of us in this room, we've all been wronged by someone at some point in our life. You know, someone has said something to us. They've done something to us. They've said things about us. Or, like I said, there could be something even more serious than that. You know, maybe someone cut in front of you at the grocery line. Or they cut you off in traffic. And your first thought is to get angry. Well, that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants our emotions to take over. And the point here is that, you know, that we are just We all get wronged by someone at some point in one way or another. And in today's world, we're not supposed to let that happen. We're expected to get even with that person. You even have someone say to you, are you going to let so-and-so get away with that? You know, you really should do something about that. You can't let them get away with that. Or, you know, maybe you've heard somebody say this. I think I've been guilty of this in the past. Well, you know, someday so-and-so is going to get what they got coming to them. And I hope I'm there to see it. You know, that's the wrong spirit. The Romans 12, verse 17 and 1 Peter 3, 9 both say the same thing. It says, do not repay evil with evil. The spirit of getting even or retaliation or of wanting to see somebody get what they got coming to them, well, that doesn't come from God's spirit. That comes from a spirit of evil. Let's take a look, if you would, over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 55. It says, now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go towards Jerusalem, and sent messengers before him. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But Christ looked at them, he turned to them and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Jesus tells James and John here that they were being motivated by the wrong spirit. This wasn't God's spirit. God's way is the way of forgiveness. Satan's way is the way of retaliation. And it says to pay evil, to repay evil with evil. There are a couple of examples in the Bible of forgiveness that I've always just been completely amazed by. And these examples are set by Jesus at his crucifixion and Stephen at his stoning. And the first one is in Luke 23. Luke 23, I'm going to break halfway into verse 33 and read to 34. It says, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I don't know how a person finds that in themselves to do that. That just amazes me. The other example is over in Acts 7, in verses 59 and 60. Acts 7, verse 59 says, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive the Spirit, my Spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he had fallen asleep. And again, I just think, how is this possible? How do you have that in your heart? It's something I don't understand. It's something I pray for. It's something that I would like to understand. And I read a scripture here recently that helped me have a little better understanding of this. Now, I don't think that it would make it easier for me to have this in my heart, but it gives me an idea how they were able to or what they were looking to. And that's over in Ephesians 6. You know, it's funny how sometimes you hear a scripture over and over again, and then where you read it several times, and then all of a sudden one day you just say, wow, you know, there it is. There's something I hadn't thought of before. Ephesians 6, 12. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. And I just thought, you know, there it is. Our fight is not against the person who wants to harm us, who has harmed us, or, you know, maybe they've done nothing at all. We just took something the wrong way. But our fight's not with them. Our fight is with the spirit that's motivating them. It's against Satan, and that's something that we've got to keep in mind. Jesus and Stephen were able to see past those who were murdering them to the spirit that was behind the action that was the driving force and what was going on. That was something that James and John clearly missed back in Samaria. Brethren, our fight is not against the people of this world. It's against the God of this world. The spirit of evil who is seeking to destroy us and the church and every other person who has not yet been called by God. We need to be mindful of every thought, every action, and to know which spirit is motivating us in the actions and in the words we say. We need to be on guard for every thought. And it says bring every thought into captivity. What a challenge that is. I've said this before, that we used to do something called a difficult scripture. And that's where you take a scripture that's a little hard to understand and maybe clarify it. Well, this to me is probably the hardest one to actually to do, is to take every thought into captivity. That's a challenge. If you're still in Ephesians 6, the verse right before verse 12 that we read, verse 11, says this: put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Have a good Sabbath.